Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. I'm proud to announce that we are now part of the Acast United family, and please expect very exciting things from us this season. On a sad note, Her Majesty the Queen passed away a few days ago, and I'd like to take this time to send our condolences to members of the royal family and the general public. As a result, football was cancelled as a mark of respect for the Queen. But today, we'll talk about other topics and the Champions League. Getting back into the episode, I'm your host today, Beatrice, and I'm joined by...
_JM Cow.
Gloria_XO.
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Joyce and Swifty Stones on Twitter.
Marva at Marva MSK.
Okay, everyone sounds a bit sad. Let's line up. Let's talk about Thomas Tuchel. So he was sacked. That came out of absolutely nowhere. No one saw it coming. Gloria put in the chat and we were all like, is this a prank? What's going on?
Yeah. Gloria? I thought it was a parody as well. I literally had to, I said, nah, there's no way that came from the official account. So I had to go on their account and I saw, there's like millions of followers. I said, yeah, it's definitely true. And then I got the notification from the app and I said, wow, that lasted 5 days. Literally, how can you sack a manager 5 days after the transfer window's closed and you bought players to fit their system? It just didn't make sense. I was really, really shocked because I thought we'd wait at least till like December, like even international break would have made sense. But I think I was very, very sad that day. I was like, wow, like what's going to happen now? Where do we go from here? Because I'm thinking what good managers are out there at the moment that are available. But obviously now we have Graham Potter. We'll see how that goes. But I was very upset, but I think I'm kind of starting to get over it. And also I'm kind of starting to get behind the project that they're planning to go ahead with. It was kind of a sad day. Yeah.
Do you think it's something that they've been working on for a long time?
Absolutely. Or? There's no way, because the way everything happened, like, you were sacked on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have a new manager. Like, that was planned. And there's no way you're telling me that you only found out about Graham, like, the day before. Like, I feel like they've been planning this for a long time. And they just... I think one other thing I thought is they probably kept Tuchel till now so they can get players to come in. Because, obviously, Tuchel has some sort of pull. And then, after they've got the players, they can say, you know what, goodbye, Arrivederci. And now here we are. I think it was planned a long time ago. From the moment that Marina was sacked, Cech left, all of these people, I feel like it was coming, but they just needed time to just get all things. You can't just sack everybody. Like, that's just going to go to you. Like, shit.
Okay, let's just assume that it was all planned and the owners knew what they were doing. Do you think Tuchel saw it coming?
No.
You think?
Seriously.
I actually don't think
he saw I feel like he had a sixth sense. Genuinely. Like, the way you were speaking. Why do you think the way you were speaking that post-match, I felt like that was him kind of leaving, like releasing his hands from the club and going, like, you know what?
It's in God's
hands. Yeah, it's frustration.
Yeah.
Like, it's just frustration.
Like, you know, you've just tried your best. You've told them what to do. You've said, do this, do that, and you're not doing it. You're just frustrated. So I don't think he saw that coming. I think when he walked into the office that Monday morning, he just thought, oh, like, it was just going to be like a day-to-day catch-up. Mm. Like, what's going on?
Nah, I disagree. I genuinely do. And that's only because of the way that Bowley has been moving since the transfer. Like, all this money that he's been throwing about, the guy wanted to employ Ronaldo. Mm. Like, realistically, yeah. And Tuchel was like, no, it's not happening, sort of thing. So there's been bickering before this has happened. So I feel like eventually he sort of saw it, like, if they didn't.
I think he probably had it in his mind that if he doesn't pattern up quite quickly, that he's going to get sacked. But to do that literally six days or 5 days after the transfer with them makes no sense.
It was very harsh.
Like, for instance, the centre-backs haven't really worked together for a long time to see if the partnership is going to work. And now it's like, I think there's a lot of, not confusion, but it's like, what does that like show?
But that's why I don't think it was like planned. I don't think it was like a thought out thing. I think it's more them being like, we need to like stamp our authority and show like, oh, we're going to make big moves. Like we need to make big moves, because if it's a case of bringing players, using his pool to bring players in, but why would you go for someone like Aubameyang, who's so clearly there for Tuchel and has, you know, had problems in the past of like getting on with managers. He's not like the easiest person to get along with. And now you've got someone like Potter, who I think will do well, but it's just like such a mismatch of people now.
Which is why I feel like it was a very harsh and hasty decision, because now it's like, where does it leave the players? Because clearly it's like you said, they hadn't had the chance to actually see how it's going to work on the pitch. And it's just like, it just seems all... I just feel like the players are kind of the ones who are going to really like feel it the most, because it's like,
they're also to blame, because like, you're going on the pitch and you're not playing like you want to be here. Like, it's going to contribute to the manager being sacked. So I think, fair enough, you can feel a certain way about the fact that they've been sacked and that, oh, you don't have that security, you don't know what's going to happen, your future's uncertain. But then again, you have to hold yourself accountable for the fact that you're not performing on the pitch as well. I don't know. I think it's a two-way thing. I do think it was planned from a long time ago, but the loss on Tuesday, I believe, just contributed to it. It's just like, yeah, you know, pack your bags, it's time to go now, let's keep it stepping.
Can you see the players getting behind Potter?
They better.
They haven't got a choice.
Like, listen, if I was Bowley, I'll start telling them, if you don't play on the pitch today, you're not getting your pay this week. Like, you need talking to start doing something.
Bowley, the man that offered a 4-4-3 formation. The man don't know what he's doing. You don't know money and vibes.
Yeah, that was going to be not true. But still, it's just like, I need people to play it like they want to be there. Like, when I look at, for instance, I don't want to bring United up, but Martinez, he plays like he wants to be there. That's the kind of
player. But listen, I don't think Martinez is a fair example to use, because he's new at United. He's new in the Premier League, so he's still got that raw passion. He's got
bombs like Mason Mount played.
I think Bowley's showing that he's thinking about his brand more so than he's thinking about his football organisation. And for me, I think he's showing his inexperience, because regardless of your opinion on your manager, sacking them 5 days after a window closes, you've brought in players, whoever comes in can't make any changes. You know, right now the players are not playing, but you're playing twice a week. Your Potter doesn't have any time on the training ground. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm looking and thinking, it's almost as if he's putting his own personal pride before the club. And I just think the timing, it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, the timing's horrible, honestly. I mean, they've had a couple extra days to train together now. But still, I just think...
Only time will tell.
Yeah.
Are we sure the timing is horrible, though? Because Chelsea have been in poor form. And this new manager could mean that they have the new manager bounce.
That new manager bounce would be crazy. It's going to be crazy for Potter's CV. Once he leaves,
he can pull out the bag.
To the World Cup, though.
Exactly.
The bounce just needs to last at the World Cup. Exactly. And then he gets more time.
It's just going to have to be...
His first game as the Chelsea manager will probably be in the Champions League, and you're facing RB Salzburg.
Yeah.
What are you? How do you see that match going?
I'm expecting something. I need a better performance than what I saw last week. Mm. That's for sure. I don't watch the other teams, so I don't know exactly how they play, but I expect us to win that game. Because I think we have quality players. So I expect us to win that game. I don't care how, but you better win that game.
So straight off the bat, you're expecting results. You're not saying, oh, I'm going to give him some time to see how he can put the team together, etc.
Yeah, I want results.
I mean, in context with the Champions League, it makes sense because you've got your time to win.
But then why hire someone like Potter, who his whole thing is building a project?
Exactly.
Like, Chelsea aren't going to wait around for you to like build something. Unless you are going to give him time. That's what Potter needs, is to actually build a project, because he implements his style of football. He implements his whole project into a team. Chelsea seemed like the worst team to do that.
Exactly. Even Lampard, the golden project, didn't really get that much time.
Didn't get going.
Chelsea don't operate like
that. Look at him at Everton now.
Now we have new management now, so hopefully the old days of just sacking managers will stop. But I don't know. Honestly, I expect us to win that game simply because I want to see that there's some sort of change in terms of, even just mentality-wise, I want to see that these players are in it for the good one.
So what do you think can change between your last loss against Dynamo Zagreb?
Mason Mount being on the bench.
And now?
Mason Mount being on the bench.
Listen, I am not a Mason Mount stan, or I don't hate him either. So whoever needs to be benched, I don't care. Like, I don't care who you are. If you need to be benched for the goodness of the team, please be sitting on that.
Wasn't Sterling playing like centre mid at some point?
I watched that glimpse of the game, but the parts that I saw, I said, wow.
Everyone was just out of position. Yeah. Wasn't it making sense? I watched it.
The match was crazy.
It did feel like a manager coming to the end of his reign, but like, sped up version. It was like, what's happening?
I think
here?
Once it's the game ended, it was like, nobody knew what to say. It was just like,
they all just walked off.
Yeah.
And then behind come up, Pulisic and Sterling up front, that was just chaotic.
Oh, God.
You better continue. Pulisic will play. He's American. It's all about
Even Mason Mount, no offense, but I don't expect him to be dropped because he's, one of your star boys.
I know.
No.
These people love him too much. they need to let go of him.
He needs to be dropped. I'm so sorry.
But that's why I think it's interesting with Potter, because your expectation is he comes in and he wins the first game. This will be the first time he'll be at a club where the expectation is that you win every single game that you play. And I think the expectation and the egos that he'll have to manage, interested to see how he'll cope with that.
It's
because, at Brighton, no one really cares if Brighton wins or loses, and they get extra praise.
There's a Mandela effect with Brighton, because every season, you think they're doing like amazingly well, because like they start well, they do really well against like some big teams, and they get some good wins against I'll watch a random game of theirs, and you'll hear the commentator say, and they haven't won in 10 games. I thought they were doing all right, and then you see they're like 10th, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense, because they beat some good teams, but then it's like they don't stay that consistent. I think actually, to be fair, on Potter this year seemed more so, actually, like he seemed more, given that they lost some key players, but their structure still stayed the same and they still seemed as impressive. I was like, you know what, I think they'll actually have a better season than before when they're a bit inconsistent. But even so, I'm like, at a team where you have to, like you're saying, win basically every game, that's not something, I know they've got better players than Brighton, but that's not something he was necessarily being consistent at Brighton.
So given that given that this is essentially the biggest job of his career, what are your expectations from him?
I think my expectations for this season is top four. I don't really, I'm not very concerned about like UCL. I think. I want us to get to at least the round of 16, like at least. But I feel like I want us to get to a point where we'll at least get top four for next season and then build from that point onwards. Yeah, that's my expectations for him.
Should that ambition be raised though? Because I feel like you can't go and spend 300 million in the transfer window and be like, yeah. Oh, we'd be happy with four.
Top four.
Exactly. I'm not saying I said top four. I didn't say four.
Yeah, but that means that fourth is included in that. Like, so.
Yeah, but I didn't say it was fourth or third. I said top four. As long as I see that we're playing Champions League football next
season. Well, like Lauren said, you're not spending a load of money.
Yeah, we did spend a lot of money. So that's why I expect them to win and results.
Bree wants to be part of the title race.
When I said Arsenal could be part of it, I was crazy.
I'll be counting, yeah, title race. But right now, I don't want Arsenal fans or any Spurs fans to come for my neck, so I'm happy with top four. I didn't say fourth place, I said top four. What about second, third, first?
All four. Oh, yeah.
But yes, I think that's my expectation.
Lauren, what about you? As a Tottenham fan, what are your expectations of Chelsea given that they've spent so much money?
I would expect, given how much money they spent, that they would be in a title race. I really would, because I think last season, you know, Man City and Liverpool just ran away with it and we were all trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. But I think considering some of the signings that have come in, I know if my club spent 300 million and I'm still battling for the same targets I was battling the season before, I'd be pissed off.
Mm. I hear what you're saying, but also I think because we are in a transition period.
Who created this transition period for you?
There's a lot that's happened, like new management, like all these things. I think to expect like stability the way it was like previously and to get like first place is just slightly unrealistic. But from next season, I expect that. That's just my opinion. I still think top four, but not like fourth place. No, I'm not saying third, second or first, but within that space, I think we can do it.
I mean, Thomas Tuchel won the Champions League in his first year at Chelsea. Mm. Why can't you put the same expectation on Potter?
He's never played in the Champions League. He's never managed a team that's played in the Champions League. So that's why I don't have like huge expectations in terms of us getting to the final, for instance. So, yeah.
Okay. We'll see how Chelsea plays this season. Let's take a closer look at the Champions League. So, Chelsea lost 1-0 to Dynamo Zagreb. Liverpool also lost 4-1 to Napoli. I mean, I don't know if
when are we getting a Liverpool final?
We need to get a Liverpool final immediately.
That I can continue my Mo Salah agenda. Because that man... You're not so...
No, but is it fair to place, blame on Mo Salah?
I'm not. Of course not,
no.
But
he hasn't, he hasn't been there. Like,
he hasn't worked.
Yeah, he's been quite absent. But I think their whole team, their whole team from back to front is all over the place.
For me, it's the midfield. If you're starting a midfield that's either got Jordan Henderson, James Milner in it, or if you're not going to play them, you're going to play two teenagers in it.
And then some.
Who's passing to Mo? Is he meant to create the chances himself?
He was, previous season.
Well, he had his fullbacks like helping him out a little bit. Yeah. Now, this time, they're a bit.
You've got Van Disney at the back. You've got Trent as well. That's just...
Trent.
Also, Trent.
Trent can't defend the same.
He was playing like he didn't want to be there. Like, I was like...
Was it the third goal?
The third goal, you stopped.
Wow.
Like, the body language at Liverpool is saying something else.
It just
says... No one just wants to play.
I think it says help. It's just like, just help us.
No, but who's going to help them? Is, like,
themselves.
Are we looking at Klopp's final season for Liverpool? Like, realistically? Because
he said he's not getting fired.
He said true confidence that his players don't operate like that.
I mean, I guess he has a right to be confident, but there becomes a point where enough is enough. And if the players stop showing the fight that we're used to them seeing, that we're used to seeing from them, then it's a big problem.
If it keeps going the way it is until like December, there's going to be a lot of red flags going around. Like,
there's already massive red flags.
If it's still going
if Thiago comes back and they still have the same problems,
exactly.
Then because right now, what most Liverpool fans are blaming on is one, Milner, and two, just generally their midfield and not that same intensity. So I think if Thiago comes back in, Fabinho stays fit, Like, what can they do?
The injury prone player will come back and he'll get injured again.
And they've got Arthur Melo now as well. So I'm like, if you've got them three playing and you're still, and the same problems are coming, then.
But I feel like even their forwards, they're quite unbalanced. It's a mess up front as well. So I feel like from back to front.
Just because they replaced Mane with a completely different player.
That's just unbalanced now.
He's definitely missing on the team, yeah.
So of course, like, I feel like, of course, Mo Salah's not going to be playing well because essentially, him and Mane had this sort of, they were competing against each other to produce, and but he doesn't have that anymore.
That Bournemouth game,
Salah's a goal scorer, the Bournemouth game was nine goals, so there were clearly chances being created.
He had about five sitters, he didn't score.
Yeah,
there was one goal he did, it was like, how did you miss that?
How did you miss that? He got that pay rise and said goodbye.
Okay, so considering Liverpool's poor form, do we have high expectations of them this season? Should we hold them to the standard that we're used to holding them?
Yeah, we have to hold them to that standard. 100%. But they're way off it, I think, at the moment. I think they'll get top four because I don't think they can play this badly for the whole season.
But I think if you're playing this badly for long enough, other teams are already like surpassing you.
But that's the thing. I feel like the season has started where... I even don't think City will run away with it. Maybe post-Christmas, but it feels like everyone is there to drop points at the moment, you know, regardless. So I don't think we're going to see someone win the league by Christmas. So I think if Liverpool get to November and in this terrible, that's going to force their owners to go and at least buy a midfielder in January. So I think they could recover and still get top four.
What about in the Champions League? How do you expect them to play there?
To continue playing how they play.
It's going to be a very short run.
So Wednesday as well.
We have no thoughts.
It's going to be a short run. The way they're playing, it's going to be a short run.
So their next game is Ajax. What are we saying? Do we think they can beat them? Joyce?
You know what? I don't know, because you know these people like to talk about Liverpool mentality. So I want to see this Liverpool mentality. I want to see it because they have to be fighting for something this season. Like, realistically, they've got the FA Cup, Carabao Cup as well. But like, I mean, it's normally like the Champions League is normally Liverpool's kind of game. So hopefully they kind of pick it up. But who knows?
We'll start doing.
We've spoken about the two teams that lost. Now City are one of the English teams that did win their game.
Mm-hmm.
How did that game go?
Sweet. You've rocked my world. Tell you that. Haaland, Sky, blessing from above. I don't know where he was made, but.
Machine.
Nah. Yeah, he was made in the lab.
Next level.
Nah, but it's like, apart from all this praise, obviously, I think Pep had said in one of the pre-match interviews that, like, we can't rely on Haaland to, like, kind of feed us like these wins and whatever. So it was nice to see Foden contribute as well, because I think Foden's kind of been off the ball recently as well. I think he's fine. He's slightly getting back into groove. But yeah, I just kind of want to see how things are going, because realistically, I mean, Haaland won't be playing during the World Cup. So hopefully he stays fit, but we also know what it's like to see Haaland injured as well. Obviously not for us, but that then will raise massive questions as to who will be providing the goals, because we've been here and there. We've sort of like been good at playmaking, but the final finishing, if it's not Haaland near the post, it's not getting in. So yeah, apart from that, it was a great match. But yeah, well, we've got Dortmund next, so we shall see. But yeah,
do you expect to beat them?
I have to say yes. I mean, at the end of the day, we're in the group stages, like we have to, and we've never really had too much of an issue. And obviously did we play Dortmund last campaign? I think we did. Yeah. But yeah, and we beat them there as well. So hopefully same performance there. But it'd be easy to get rid of competition now and have an easier run later. But yeah.
Okay, and Lauren, Tottenham were the other English team who also won. How did that game go?
I can't lie. At halftime, I was thinking, I can't believe I paid to come and watch this. We started the game as we started many of our games. We didn't play very well. But our new number 9. Thank you, Marva. I think for me to see, you know, everybody knows that we're heavily reliant on Kane and Sonny to get goals in our side, and to now know that we've got another player who will turn up when we need him. You know, he got the job done. A couple of great headers. First game at home, it's really important to start well. And we have done, and we've got two away games now. I mean, I'm happy with our draw. I'll be disappointed if we don't top the group anyway. I feel that there's so much more to come from Spurs, but at the moment we're getting the job done. Mm. So I can't complain too much. So yeah, I think we've got Sporting Lisbon on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tough away game, but I expect 3 points. And yeah, it was nice to hear the Champions League music again.
Yeah, must happy. Be nice. I mean, United can't say the same, but hey.
Well, you down there? How was Thursday?
Arsenal.
Yeah, we won.
In the Europa. Yeah. Honestly, I was not even paying attention to Europa League. I know that United did not win, but I shall.
You lost. Yeah, oh, yeah, but it was the VAR was.
I can't lie, I didn't watch it. Yeah.
It was a bit questionable, yeah. I had a lot of people complain about the penalty.
I mean, I saw the incident, and if that's what we call a penalty nowadays, then football is, you know, it's a mess. But hey, let's move on to the Premier League. Now, the games haven't gone ahead this weekend because, you know, of what we mentioned earlier. And next weekend, do we know whether it's coming back or not?
I think it seems like it is going to resume.
From the Saturday, there's a match on, yes.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Oh, really? I know there's a question mark about the London teams because of policing.
There's going to be a lot of people on the streets.
But as of I'm seeing, it's still staying as scheduled for this weekend. But then Monday, of course.
Might change their mind.
Yeah, considering that the funeral is on the Monday, a lot of people might be, you know, doing what they do on the weekend. But I don't know how many teams in London are playing. So
Chelsea are at home and Brentford are at home against Arsenal.
Yes.
So even if they wanted to reverse that fixture, they couldn't really.
So that
game needs to be played in London regardless. But,
let's talk about the league in general. Mm. So Arsenal are still, you know, top of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect this form to continue?
I expect to continue, but we still have more challenges to come. I feel like obviously Man United was their first challenge, and the one thing that kind of annoys me is like they get into their heads too much. And I feel like with the Man United game, they had the opportunity to kind of draw it back once it became, you know, 1-1. I feel like they just kind of lost it. I think they panicked. Arteta panicked, I don't know why. I feel like the substitution. I was so confused. I feel like it was just a complete panic. I was just like, we have to do that. So I feel like I feel like we need to be confident when playing, you know, the bigger top teams. Yeah, because I feel like, why can't we feel that we could, you know, go against them? I feel like we have a young team. We still are learning. We're still getting around it. But I feel like at the end of the day, we started off strong. Why can't we continue?
Yeah, because I feel like your team was the better team for most of the game. Mm-hmm. And you should have kept it the same.
Exactly.
Because it was working.
You saw it, and it's like when he switched it, I was just like, well, there goes the game. There's no point. I feel like I said, we still got a few more games that I think the next few games that, you know, we're predicted to win, or I feel like we can, you know, hold our own.
Liverpool in one of those?
Next is Brentford.
You have us as well, North London Derby's first game after international break.
Oh, sweet. Okay, well. Yeah. Well, then we'll see then.
More challenges.
Like I said, I feel like they're a good team, and I feel like we just need to believe in ourselves more, and it shouldn't be a thing where we can only win against the non-big
the teams.
Small teams. It's not that. I feel like we can just have to keep going.
What are your expectations for Arsenal this season?
Like I said, I feel like why can't we be challenging? I didn't say we were going to challenge. I said, why can't we challenge? I just feel like, at the moment, definitely top four. And if we can challenge for it, if we can, you know, just shock everyone, why not? Last time was going to be crazy. I think
cool time charge with your chest.
But my thing is this, right? It's like, why can't I cool touch just my chest?
And no one said it.
You
you know, you're saying your team should be confident, but you should be confident too, to be like,
am I on the pitch or are they on the pitch? Let me just, I'm just doing my part and just, you know, give them my 2 pence.
You're not cheering them hard enough.
You should cheer for your new manager.
Oh my God. Do we all think Arsenal can be consistent and challenge for that title?
I feel like it's difficult to answer the question because I agree. I think the first challenge was will you turn up at Old Trafford and beat that Old Trafford, like the Man United team that's still finding its feet, and you failed that challenge. And I think there will be more challenges to come, especially...
You've got us in October as well, mid-October.
Yeah, so that's so what Chelsea.
However,
Spurs,
we do have like a crazy run before that. We've got... Actually, yeah, so we've got Dortmund the week after. Before that, we've got Copenhagen as well. Mm. And then we have Liverpool literally just before you guys on the weekend.
Is this excuses coming out already?
No, I'm just telling you that I'm not even going to say I'm expecting you guys to beat us, but the lineup that we have, there's actually no excuse. Because what you guys have got, Conference League, what I don't even know what you guys played. So...
Where does that come from? No one's even asking the question.
Someone on Sunday or Thursday, isn't it?
She said conference.
Well, what it threw me back to, though, because I remember, like, for years when Arsenal were challenging, or at least challenging, like, top four fully, they'd always be, they'd do well, and then February. Remember the February capitulation?
As I said, like,
But no, I think they'll hold their position until about Christmas time. I don't think there'll be, like, too many major changes within, like, the top four. Maybe we'll see, like, Liverpool kind of creep up a bit more, but that's
the gap is quite close. Even between us and Arsenal, I think it's only 3 points.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's quite close at the minute.
No, what was that for, Joyce? I didn't get that. What was that for?
What do you mean?
I think everybody is going to drop points between now and November. Yeah. So I think there's not going to be, I think, clear front runners because you're right. Whoever's in seventh or eighth is literally a couple of points off teams who are first, second, third. So... yeah, I think it would be interesting as well because Arsenal's terrible February-type run, there will also be more games to play because then no one's going to be playing in November until, what, Boxing Day?
Yeah.
So actually, yeah.
It's just how the World Cup affects it. Exactly. If, like, if Saka starts every game for England, Jesus or whoever, it's like you don't know right now, it's not really that clear who's starting for Brazil.
Jesus is going to make the squad.
He didn't make a friendly.
I think that's only because Arsenal don't really let their players go.
World Cup definitely, but friendlies no.
But it's like how much of, like, we don't really know how much playing time a lot of these players are going to get at the World Cup. And if they, it tends to be that, you know, a few of them, if it turns out that they're going to be like the main man for their country, that could have a big effect on the games that come afterwards. But right now you can't really tell. Because it could be Richarlison, it could be Jesus, Same with England, it's going to be Saka, Foden, whoever gets chosen,
with Sancho, he's probably back in the league, back in the team now.
But he's probably going to be on the bench for the most part.
But that's what I'm saying, we don't really know. So, like, how that plays out is going to have a big effect on the rest of the season as well.
I want to go around and get everyone's top four predictions based on how things currently are in the league. Because I don't think I've heard you guys' predictions yet. So I think that'll be quite interesting. Lauren?
I think City...
City number one.
I can't call Arsenal. I'll go in order. I think City will win the league.
Okay.
Based on current form, I'm going to put my neck out and say Spurs second, Arsenal third, Liverpool fourth.
Current form?
Current form.
This current, we're 1 point behind Arsenal. And Arsenal, apart the one challenge they've had to play.
No, but Arsenal, based on form, Arsenal is currently the better team than you. I'd say.
Do I think Arsenal will maintain this form?
Okay.
By the end of the season, that's what I think.
So you're locking it in. You said City number one.
Yeah, I'll go Spurs. Arsenal third. And Liverpool fourth.
Damn. Okay. Gloria?
Yeah, I think it will take Potter too long to get the squad going. So.
I know you're not talking to me.
I think it will take Potter too long. So.
Wait, is this at the end of the season?
Yes. Or, your top four predictions for the Premier League?
I think City,
City's going to be first. Second, I'm going to say, I don't believe in Liverpool right now. I don't think they'll get the second spot, but they can come back. hey, it's not looking good. Okay, I'll say City. I'll go Liverpool. I'll say Chelsea, and then Arsenal.
Okay, that's interesting.
Okay.
Joyce?
It's tit for tat.
Yeah.
Joyce? Okay. Based on current form.
Yeah, or just how you see the league going.
Oh, how it's going. Okay, cool. First, Man City. Well, do you see that much in Man United? If I say first, you're not going to be delusional. So
sometimes no, just believe in, like, yeah. say what you believe. If that's what you really believe, say it.
Okay, well, I believe, what I truly believe. Okay, cool. Man City first. Let's be real. Man City first. Second.
Say it with your chest.
Go on, I know you want to say it.
Wait, let her speak.
I'm misthinking. You're on my neck. Second, I'm going to say...
You know what you want to say. Just say it.
Come on. Oh, you guys, I'm unpredictable. A second... Arsenal.
Yeah, we knew that was coming.
Third, I'm going to say Liverpool. Fourth, Spurs.
Mother?
I actually really don't know.
You got to give us something.
Man City first, definitely. I feel like there might be quite a big gap towards the end of it. Like, I think it'll be close between second and fourth, but not between first and second. So I think, I just don't know if I trust Arsenal. but Liverpool look terrible right now. All right, I still think Liverpool might get back up there. So I'll put them second. Oh, this is tough. To be honest, I'm winging it here. I'm just going to say Arsenal third. No, Chelsea third. And then it's going to be between Arsenal and Spurs. I think both are going to fall off after Champions League football and World Cup. So either one of them.
Right, Joyce.
Obviously, City first. Second, I don't think any of you bums deserve second, so I'm going to Nah, like, it's so hard, like, right now, like, sitting in this position right now to think who's going to come second, because I can say third and fourth. Realistically, I could probably see Liverpool sitting probably either third or fourth, but second place with the fixtures and everything else, and it will genuinely just depend on whether how many games, what club is playing, et cetera, how many times you guys are like dropping out, whatever. But I think Arsenal will be sitting at third. Second. I think I just have to give it to Liverpool just for the sake of it, to be fair, because it's just always been like that. And then fourth, you know, surprisingly, I might actually have to give it to United.
The only person that has put United in their top four.
They might even sit in fifth. But
okay.
I think it'll be close between United and Chelsea.
Yes, can we always
be United first?
I'm gonna say City first. Then I'm gonna throw in Tottenham at second. I'm gonna put United third. And then fourth, I'm actually gonna put Arsenal.
You're a hater.
No, because the reason I'm putting Chelsea out of it is just because they've got a new manager. I'm personally not really sure about this manager and the challenge at Chelsea. So I'm gonna say this season they might miss out on that. And I'm putting Liverpool out of it because Jurgen's gonna capitulate. So yeah, those are my predictions.
So we shall see.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We shall see. Marva, I don't want to leave you out. So where do you think Everton's going to come?
Anyways, over to the relegation battle.
Let's do who we think is going to get relegated. Ooh. I think,
what's that got to do with Everton?
Sorry.
Back your team.
I'm going to start with you on that one, Marva. Who do you think are the three teams to get relegated this season?
I think Bournemouth, for sure. I think they'll put up a fight, but yeah, I think ultimately. I think Nottingham Forest could as well. Like, I know they've signed a lot of players, but it's one of those where sometimes where you sign so many, it just doesn't quite click. And that was a shocking loss to Bournemouth the other week as well. And then, I don't think it'll be Fulham. I don't think all three of the promote teams will go down. I think it's too easy to say Leicester because I think Rodgers will get sacked within a few weeks and then they'll be all right. But wishful thinking would be Leicester or Southampton and not Everton, obviously.
Joyce?
Oh, I'm sitting on it, I'm thinking. The way West Ham are playing at the moment, I don't think I don't think in this lifetime I will ever see West Ham get relegated, but the way they're playing at the moment is that they're asking to be relegated.
Yeah, like, it's been shaky.
So I don't know. I think they'll be sitting right outside of the relegation zone. I think it hopefully will wake them up for next season because I don't see them turning it around this season, to be fair. But Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, definitely. And the way their wage structure is going to suffer next season. Yeah. Good luck though. Anyways. I think the Southampton will probably they'll be able to sort of sort it out, I think. So I think it's easy to say Leicester might have to take the hit this season. But yeah, because Fulham are playing way too great to be touching anywhere
near the relegation zone. Because even Villa look shocking.
Yeah.
That's so hard. Villa, if the managers get sacked, then it's hard to make a prediction. Because I think Gerrard's on borrowed time. Yeah. Lampard is on borrowed time. Rodgers, if Leicester don't improve again.
Borrowed time.
Yeah, to the job centre.
Rodgers is so on borrowed time. He's got a game.
Yeah, he's on the edge. Yeah. He's on the edge.
Yeah, I think it's tough because then it's like, okay, so which manager comes? I'm trying to think who has the worst squad. So even if they get a new manager,
there's no going back.
There's no going back anyways. I think Defo Bournemouth have to
go down. They're
terrible. They still have some players from the last time they got relegated. They're just not good enough. Mm. I feel like Everton maybe if you don't sack Lampard quick enough, I think it's hard. Maybe Forest. If that squad doesn't gel. Because I don't see them sacking... What's his name? Steve Cooper? I think he'll be there. I think he'll stay throughout the whole season.
Gloria?
Bournemouth is definitely going down. Put them 20th.
I didn't know you were doing positions.
I just get the bottom.
definitely. I think,
with Leicester though, as much as like, I don't know, it's sticky. Forest I think could potentially go down because I think they sign too many players. It's going to take a while, and they don't have that facility to allow everyone to gel before they can start producing results. So I'd say them, and then I'd say I'm still not convinced about Leeds, but I wouldn't put them. I'm not too sure if I'd put them in the relegation zone or just outside. But I'd say, for now, I'll say Leeds for now.
Joyce? Same as Gloria, to be fair. So yeah, definitely Bournemouth. Forest, it's just, yeah, too many players. It's going to take a while for them to really find their feet. I was going to say either Leeds or... probably Everton as well, depending on Lampard. I'm so sorry.
You watched the Merseyside derby, guys. We looked good.
Yeah. No, but you tend to look good against Liverpool in the last, like, 2 years. When? In the last, when? last year, you did well against Liverpool.
Not really. Like, it was a different game in that we were right, but we had about 20% possession, whereas this game, we actually had, got, like,
fair enough,
maybe, like, 45.
I think for me, I'd say my predictions are Bournemouth. I'm going to say Fulham. I think with the amount of money that Forest has spent, I feel like they stay out, man. They spent so much money. They have to.
I need to start seeing Jayling's ball.
They've got Henderson as well, and he's actually a good keeper. So I think Forest will stay up. Okay. I'm going to say Fulham, Bournemouth. I don't want to put Leicester in there because I feel like they'll manage to stay out of it.
They'll be okay.
Maybe a Villa.
I'd say Villa. January though, Leicester, because I don't see out of, because Rodgers' preference is to play Vardy.
I can't see them getting enough goals. He's been playing poor. I'm sorry.
Do you know the thing? The biggest thing with Leicester is their goalkeeper. Did you see that? He's terrible. Like, they benched Vardy, Ian actually got a goal in what, like, the third minute or something, and then just shambles.
It was crazy.
And your keeper does make a big difference. Yeah. Like,
Pickford saved us. Yeah. And Pickford kept us up last season.
How long is he out for?
He was out for 3 to 4 weeks. So, given this, the break, they'll be out for a few games. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, Pickford definitely is needed.
We've got Calvert-Lewin coming back now, so.
Oh.
Okay.
I actually love him.
Said you love him.
Yeah. Hopefully he can pick up form as well, because he was up and down last season.
Yeah, like, towards the end, because, to be honest, we just kept rushing him back because he was injured all of last season and obviously we needed him. So we just kept rushing him back and rushing him back. And then when he finally started to have, like, some form towards the end of last season, he got a goal against Brentford, then got the goal that saved, like, kept us up against Palace, and looked good in both those games. Like, he was doing all the type of positional play that he's very good at. So if he gets a run and we're not rushing him back, then I think he'll do well. But my worry is just we don't have real cover for him. I thought Mopo actually played quite well against Liverpool, even though he should have scored. So that's helpful, but we don't have the same, like... Like, our structure this season's actually been so much better. Like, that's why I'm not actually panicking, because the midfield signings we've made is the best our midfield has been in years. Like, even under Ancelotti, this midfield is better than under Ancelotti. We didn't know how to keep the ball under Ancelotti, even though we did well. It was all based on counter-attacking football. So I feel like now that we've actually got solid defence, solid midfield, when Pickford's back, we've got a solid goalkeeper. It's just, can we capitalise on, like, that stability and actually get some goals to win games? And if Calvert-Lewin's back and informed, then hopefully we can. But speak to me in a few months. But we still haven't won a game.
I feel like, it relies on having a clinical goal scorer to keep you up.
Gordon's got, like, 2-2. No,
that's what it says. He wanted to be employed by Chelsea.
Speaking of Russian players back during the week, or I think it was 2 days ago, actually, Martial came out with a story to French press about his treatment at United and how he played through injury through a lot of his time under Ole. And I was just, it got me thinking, and I was wondering, like, how many teams in the Premier League do we see rush players back, and what is the effect that that has on players' mental health, long-term performance, etc.?
You saw Rashford.
Sorry?
Yeah, you saw Rashford.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rashford.
Was a big example.
Do you think that happened with Pogba then as well?
It happened with about 5-6 players in our team. So Pogba, Martial, Rashford. Right. It even happened with Harry Maguire.
Done.
Yes.
And you can see the drop-off now of players that have been through injury.
Yeah. And it just got me thinking, is this normal in football? Like, I don't know what is meant to be normal or not.
It's just out of desperation.
Desperation,
like,
yeah.
Teams
yeah.
like City don't have to worry about it too much.
Once our players injured, we don't see them for the rest of the season. That's it. They ship them off to Barcelona to get a football recap. That's it.
That's how it should be. Exactly. But I think about in the past how players would talk about how they would get injections to play games and they'll put their bodies on the line.
I think part of that as well is like, how much we train our academy so that we have a lot of academy players that can come in and fill the boots of whoever gets injured for like a few games before we find someone else. So like, kind of, and I think as well, the way Pep trains most of the players to end up playing out of position as well has really helped us. So we've had like, we had Fernandinho for the most part that was kind of injured there, here and there, but he was out there playing in defence. I think it's just the way clubs are.
So you're saying sort of for your team that you're less reliant on individual players, it's easy for you guys to rotate.
It's a system you play. Yeah. It's the same with Liverpool. It's like you could put any players into that system. They know what they're doing. They know what their job is. And they get, the system carries them, even if they're not like the best individual player. Mm. Whereas if you're playing in like Man United, how they have, where they don't know, you know, exactly what they're playing and it's relying on individual brilliance, then there's a lot more pressure on those individual players to play through injury. And like, whether it's that they're coming into it and not fully fit, they have to do a lot more themselves, or that there aren't enough players to cover them, so you're just rushing someone back.
Right.
And in you guys' teams, does that happen as well?
Yeah, for me, my biggest one was Kane coming back for the Champions League final when his ligaments were not healed, and he was running at 5 miles per hour, and the player
should have played Lucas
getting
Moura.
Dropped after getting that hat trick. I look and think, Poch. I love Poch, and I was so upset when he was sacked. But for me, that's one of the biggest mistakes that he's made, because you can't play players who are not fit on the biggest occasion just because you're desperate for them to play, because they have consequences. We lost the game and we were terrible. And I can't blame Kane for as poor as he was in that final, because he wasn't fit.
Mm. Do you think it's on players, though, to say that actually I don't think I'll be the best for the team at this time?
I think it's hard, because I think it depends on the manager, because one of the things that I've noticed, for example, with Conte complains about our physio department when he does interviews. So, and I, for example, was it Romero who was injured and was supposed to be out for a month, and then Conte turned around and said, no, I expect him back in 2 weeks. And he's ended up coming back, and luckily he's been fine. He's not picked up another injury. But I think some managers put pressure on the medical department, who probably do say, look, he's not in the right condition to play. But you're right, when you've got individuals who you're so heavily reliant on, they're not going to turn around and say no, they just want to play football.
Exactly.
So I think it's the manager needs to have a better duty of care. But I don't think we see that enough. And I think we've seen the impact of players like Rashford, who thankfully looks like he's coming back to form now. But
it's taken him so long to get to that point.
Away for injury, and I think, you know, we don't realise the impact that this will have, you know, on the longevity of their careers when they don't rest when their body needs to.
That's why I'm sorry for Saka.
He's
playing, starting every single match, and this is like, he's still so young. And it's obviously, like you said, we have the World Cup coming up and all other fixtures. We're highly dependent on him, which is why the transfer window was such a crucial part for us. And it was, I wouldn't say it was a big letdown, but we could have done so much more, because it was needed that, okay, listen, there's someone needs to be there just in case.
Did Saka ever play through injury or...?
Not that I know of, no. Okay. I know it was like probably niggles and just like scares, but nothing too serious where he's had to like come off for a while, but no. Like, I think I remember like Tomiyasu, he was out for a while, but apart from that, most of our players, it's always been niggles, but it's like like I said, it's just that holding your breath moment, because it's like you don't know how serious it's going to be, because like I said, we're just not in that position to kind of lose these players, because of course the season we have.
I think with player fitness and stuff like that, the manager plays a big part, because I think about Ole and I think about the fact that he's probably quite an old school manager, where in his time you would get the injection and you would go put your life on the line. Whereas, let's say modern day players, I don't think it doesn't always work. Like we've seen it in United, especially with Pogba. I think about Pogba all the time because he played through an ankle injury where it was so bad he had to get surgery after the Europa League game. And fans thought he was faking it. And it was just like, he's put himself on the line because the manager has expectations of him. And the result is that he's had to have a surgery, and even the fans of the club don't even believe that it was real. Things like that, it's where do we draw the line?
But there isn't a line to be drawn, because I feel like it's just, that's how it is in football. It's like, I feel like when you commit to something such as that, it's like, you don't want to disappoint the team, you don't disappoint your fans, the manager, anything like that. And it's like, unfortunately, you see it that they would risk just that one injury or one kind of moment just so they don't, you know, lose that kind of, not respect, but kind of just like that, you know, okay, that acknowledgement. Because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you want to be consistent. You want to be kind of like always showing up.
Yeah, but how can you be consistent when you're not even fully fit?
Exactly. And I think it is with the older school managers, because the sports science that they would have had isn't as good as it is now. So I think with the access to scans and to the physios, I feel like you've got to listen to your medical department. If they're saying that person's not fit, they would have tried everything to get that player fit. But equally, you've got a Europa League final. So
But sometimes I think, winning. Do the medical department put the player's interest first? Sometimes I think they put the manager or the club's interest first. So I mean, it doesn't really make a difference.
They are employed by them.
So exactly. Yeah. You just need to.
It's like HR. Yeah, you can go to HR, but they still work for the company. But yeah, I thought that was quite interesting that Martial came out and said those things. And it just highlighted that the culture in football kind of still needs a little bit of work, especially when it comes to players' mental health, injury, and just things like that.
Yeah, I think maybe it's more of the... it's either got to be the Premier League or whoever the responsible body is. Like with concussion, they've had to change regulations to make sure, because I'll never forget when Vertonghen, he had a head injury and then he didn't look right. He went off at the side and went back on, and then he collapsed and threw up at the side of the pitch because he was clearly suffering from concussion. And the medical department just waved him back on.
But he continued playing. And then he said afterwards, he was like, I don't remember.
But it's like, at that point, it's the medical department's job to be like, actually, we don't think he's okay. Like, obviously, the player's going to still want to play because he doesn't want to disappoint his manager. But
then what if the manager says, but I think he can still play?
The medical needs to be able to... you need
regulation, course, because now we have, for example, concussion protocols, where if someone goes off with a head injury... like they just cannot play, but we now even have the extra subs so the other team doesn't lose out, because they've had to change those protocols to make sure people take it seriously.
Like five subs and stuff now. It's like
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about the international break coming up. So England are facing Italy.
Oh gosh. Chiellini
has
retired now.
Saka saved.
How do we think that match is going to go?
I think it's going to go better than we all expected. Yeah. I mean, I watched the Argentina versus Italy game. That weird glorified cup thing that they wanted to create for a bit of money, but it was nice to see Italy fall apart a little. Just like it made me happy, but I genuinely feel like it's going to go a lot better. But that being said, looking at the depth that England have, I don't know.
You can never really read that much into these games, though. Exactly, it's like you give so many players like their first game, and like here's an appearance because they've been doing well in the league, but they never, like players like Bowen and stuff like that were like, who were doing really well, you know, and then they get given a game, but it's like, but they're not going to play at the World Cup, like they're not going to.
That's true, but he should be picked this time.
It's a South Gate Smart Boy.
I don't know. Like people read into them so much and get so angry about these friendlies. I'm like, you can't tell until the competition starts. Italy didn't look that. To be fair, they went in like an unbeaten run, but they still didn't look that solid before the Euros. Mm. And then it's like, no one expected them to win the Euros. It's like, it's not until you get to the actual competitions that you can see. Mm. Having said that, England have looked trash for the last year. And the one thing that was carrying through them through the last few tournaments has been just their like togetherness, and like it seemed like
even the fans just cheering, just the whole spirit.
Like there was like a positivity going on there, whereas now I feel like that is not there, and it's very much like people are saying to drop Kane and like get rid of Southgate and all of this, and I'm like,
oh, I mean, in the Euros, I was calling for that too, but hey,
calling for what? Both
drop Kane to be dropped,
and
to play who instead?
Just a little change.
We'll play who instead?
I think the problem, I think, for me, and I've been calling honestly for Southgate to be sacked since Russia, but is that his tack, like, I feel like, how can you have this crop of players and have a system and a setup that just feels so anti-football?
Yes.
Like, I feel like some of the real strengths of players like Saka, like Foden, they're not exploited in the system that he plays. And I just think it's really painful, I think, to watch England games. Yes, okay, if we do well in the tournament, like, yeah, everyone gets excited. But I think international football outside of major tournaments, it's like watching paint dry. Because his tactical setup is, there's just a lot that he needs doing.
Do we think it solely falls on Southgate though? Or do we think the fact that the players don't generally play together could have an impact on how we look as a team?
I mean, but isn't that like Southgate's job to sort of,
because we're like, you're switching around players so much. It's like why they've done okay in tournaments is that it's been a pretty like consistent team. Like even in the Euros compared to the World Cup, players like Walker, who you would thought, oh, might not really get in the team, Maguire, Stones, like just all got played again. They all know how to play with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, it was basically the same starting lineup every single game, other than like the wide forwards, and they were all quite interchangeable anyway. Whereas when you get into these games, you've got a completely different midfield, you've got a completely different backline, different goalkeeper, different everything. So it's like, and they don't play with a clear like game plan anyway, in terms of like not a style of football, so it's not like that's going to stay consistent. So the only thing you're relying on and being consistent is the players, and if they're not the same players, then like you said, it's like watching paint dry. It's just like
So can we go around and say what our predictions for the Italy versus England match will be?
A draw. just purely because I think Italy haven't looked like the same team. I mean, they didn't even qualify for the World Cup. And I think players like Chiesa are still injured. So I'm not expecting a proper Italy side to turn up. But equally, I also think I'm not expecting a serious England side to turn up to the game. So I can just see it being quite another boring game to watch with a few chances. And yeah, I think I'm up in a draw.
What about you, Gloria?
I'm torn between 2-0 England or 2-1. I think they'll still win it, but it won't be an exciting game to watch.
Jace?
1-0 to England.
Marva?
No Pickford, no party.
Ramsdale. 1-1. I'd say 2-1 to England.
And then for a second international game, we're going to be playing Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
oh,
okay.
You already said it's a wrap. No hope in England.
Actually, I had to think about the forwards because they'd like to play. What's his name?
You got Sonny?
Kai Havertz and
Sonny. Oh, Werner. They love playing Werner. He's sports in the Germany, so.
I think Germany will be better now. Like they had a new manager now, and like a good manager. Now they're settling in. I reckon they'll be quite good.
Yeah. Mm. So are we going to lose that match, you're saying?
I think a draw.
It depends who they're playing.
Wembley or?
It's really hard to
play. Is it in Germany?
I think it's in Wembley.
Oh.
Interesting. It's going to be a dead game, though. Yeah. I feel like it's almost the World Cup. Yeah.
It's a thing to know. I think one all.
I feel like you never see Germany in full form until they reach the major tournaments. They go to another level, so maybe another draw.
Yeah, I think a draw.
Okay, you guys clearly don't have any hope in England.
So when it's the friendlies, just wait until the World Cup. Do you get it? I feel like we will.
Okay, but even in the World Cup, like, how do you expect us to play?
Not very well. I think, honestly, getting to the semi-final of the World Cup, where some of the really, really good nations did not play well, I expect Brazil to turn up. I expect Argentina to turn up. Like, I genuinely think, if the, you know, I expect France to do, I think if the countries, some of our, I would say countries that are better than our, well, play a better system and a way of playing than our national team, it quarterfinals, maybe semi-finals at best. I generally, even the Euros, I don't think it wasn't necessarily because we played really, really, really well. It was just because some of the other nations...
I mean, we had easier teams.
Germany, that was a good game. Denmark was the worst Germany team we've seen in years.
Yeah, that was a very questionable team, but Denmark was a good team that you played against. Just the way it ended.
So the World Cup, no one's going to be singing "It's Coming Home."
Nah, quarterfinal straight.
I sung already.
I said quarterfinal.
You know what? Even the group, like, I know people saying it's an easy group. I don't think it's that.
What do you have in the group?
USA,
Iran, and Wales. But Wales is a team that, like, England, Wales are always going to turn up.
Exactly. And if Gareth gets fit in the MLS,
he's just using that as pre-season.
And the USA, I feel like they've got a lot of players now who are playing in Europe in decent sides. I think they're going to cause us a problem.
I'm not saying that, like England should win that group. Don't get me wrong. Yes. It's not that, like, if they don't, it's not like, oh, they had a hard group. Obviously, it's a group they should win. But I just mean, if they come into it not fully confident, and if the cracks start showing early on and they don't get it together, it's a group they could actually capitulate in. Like, it feels very much like a group we've seen before, like in the old school England.
I believe we'll definitely get out of the groups. But as she said, if we don't come into the groups not confident, then it's a problem.
But yeah, there are some good teams, I think.
No, definitely Brazil. Brazil, Argentina are definitely the ones to watch out for.
Go on, Brazil.
Wait, you're not supporting England?
Oh,
no, England's like my fourth country.
Oh, you second then.
Brazil, France, Ghana, and then it's England.
Ghana,
Ghana,
Ghana
is even
worse.
Her two countries.
She put her country of birth as third place.
Yeah, it's overdue.
Who else are you supporting country wise? Anyone else?
France.
I would like to see Messi get the World Cup, I can't lie.
Probably see Belgium, to be fair. That'd be nice.
I mean, it is the last World Cup to be on this, so
I'd rather see Brazil, like, because I think Brazil embody football. They live in Brazil. Football is their religion. I feel happy when I see Brazil doing well.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. I know growing up, Nigeria faced Brazil a lot, so might be interesting to see. Let's move on to listener questions. The first question I've got here is, do you believe that Tuchel is one of Chelsea's legendary managers? Why are you laughing?
Mourinho is still alive, you know.
Okay, because he got us the Champions League, you can't discredit his work. But I think, like Joe said, Mourinho's still alive.
But the question is one of.
Juice. Nah, because you guys were trying to cook me because I said that the Champions League was fugazi. What? But yeah, no. And apparently, I can't really talk because, you know, we haven't won Champions League yet. But
by that logic, is it Di Matteo?
Yeah, because he's won a Champions League.
And he got sacked in the same kind of year.
Another one.
You know?
Breeze off camera saying,
if you're saying Tuchel is legendary because of a CL, then Di Matteo is also legendary.
Exactly. I'm too sure I'll cover you. I'll say this, but Chelsea were in pretty much every single final possible.
And they still lost.
After Tuchel. I'm not saying he collected that many, but he reached finals.
Please, let's clarify
that. Yeah.
In his short stint,
I would say he's one of Chelsea's best managers that they've had.
Yeah, one of.
One of the best managers, but I want to say.
Wait, who are your top three best managers that Chelsea have ever had?
Yeah, girl.
I'll put Mourinho first.
Okay.
Only Chelsea fans like him.
I'll put Conte second.
Frankie Ooh! Lampard.
Yeah, I can put some respect on Conte.
To be fair, Conte did really well at Chelsea.
Breathe.
Yeah, put some respect on Conte's
name. What would you say, breathe in?
Okay.
Yeah, if it's not Conte, then who?
Goose Hiddink.
Oh no.
Ancelotti.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Ancelotti, yes.
She said, oh yeah.
Top three. Okay.
Let's start summarizing your answer.
Let's start again.
Top three
Chelsea managers.
Okay,
Mourinho is definitely first.
Okay.
Mourinho. I'm torn between. Okay, I'll put Ancelotti second and then Conte.
So that means Tuchel's not really in the legendary status. Top five.
Top five. So no, is he fourth? Okay.
Maybe.
Let's move on to the next question. Ooh, why is Chelsea so overrated by Chelsea fans?
What?
Tuchel.
Oh,
so
overrated. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
You're
going
to have to ask them.
I think
it's the Champions League that's what's getting to them. Mm. But he was a good manager in terms of he did what he needed to do. But I think...
Who would you say was a better manager? Conte? Or Tuchel?
I say Conte.
Hey! No, but why do you... Don't... Just ignore her. Why do you say Conte?
Stick to your words. Stick to it.
Don't let her... Crazy.
No,
don't let her... Don't let her... Don't let her...
Don't let her... Don't let her... Don't let her... Don't let her... Don't let her... Don't let her... Don't let her...
More consistent than winning a Champions League.
I agree. Because winning the Premier League is harder.
Yeah, but Chelsea didn't have any European football. I have to say, like, Tuchel won that Champions League after the invasion of Ukraine.
But if you look at
what Tuchel has done, I think to win the Champions League in your first season, to then have to carry the club and to return to the Champions League when the man was offering to drive the bus to the games, I would say, okay, yes, winning the Premier League's the pinnacle, but Conte won it. I know I'm saying this because Conte is my manager now. Conte won it in after Chelsea finished 10th and then had the investment.
Mm. Good point.
Anyone else have any other
opinions? All I'm saying is drill members have been charged with more time than Tuchel has for all these crimes that he's committed on pay. I'm telling you right now, because I'm tired. You know what, yeah? The football was so enjoyable at first, but it was just like every other week you see the lineup and you had 90% of it being defense over. Like, it was just like, what were you guys trying to fight for so bad that you needed to defend your goal? Like,
they defended the goal in the Champions League final.
Yeah, though. You know exactly, what? Yeah. It wasn't even a goalkeeping mistake like that made you guys win. So, you know what? I'm gonna hold that.
Let's move on to the next question. This is slightly different type of question, but it's, have you ever received excessive hate from men because you're women in the industry? Marva, go on. She has stories for days.
I have stories for days. All the time, to be honest. Like, even just look at our TikTok comments. Actually, you can't because we delete them, but... like, kids writing stuff about just bullshit about, yeah, why are women talking about football? Why are we not? Like, what are you on about? Like, yeah, get it all the time. I remember I once tweeted when Phil Neville got the job of the England women's job, and I was like, oh, he's never managed a team before. That's a bit of a weird thing. Suddenly, thousands of Phil Neville fans came out of the woodwork saying, like, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. You know nothing about football, fuck off. I was like, all right, didn't know so many people love Phil Neville. yeah, all the time. But then even just things like, working in football, I've gone to, I once went to report on a game at Goodison, and I turned up and the guy was like, Abigail, and I was like, no, he was like, oh, Marva. I was like, yeah, because I was one of two women who were reporting, like two of us in like, there's like 60, 70 reporters there that he knew who I was just because we were only two women. So yeah, it happens all the time, whether it's like deliberate or just feeling out of place because of what it is. And I've just, I've had like been at a game when people are saying, explain the offside rule to me, but getting it wrong. Like, I remember it was at Chelsea actually, it was Everton Chelsea game, and the goalkeeper was taking a goal kick and Richarlison was offside, but it's a goal kick, so he can't be offside.
Mm.
The guy behind me is screaming like, get the fuck onside. I was like, you can't be offside from a goal kick. He's like, I think you can, love. And I was like,
it's that love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's that love, yeah.
Just all the time.
Does anyone else have any stories that
it's like the offside rule, isn't it? So when you say, okay, explain the offside rule to me, I'm just like, what does that mean?
I just feel like we need to get a better question, because who doesn't know what that is at this point?
It's like, seriously, probably not us. Like,
oh, you only watch football for the men. No.
Yeah. I think it's that like automatic assumption that our opinion is unqualified because we are women. Mm. And I think that tends to be the default kind of response, you know, even going to the football and being at the football, even on Wednesday at the Spurs Marseille game. Obviously, I'm there, I'm commentating on the game. I was pissed off because we were not playing well, and people are looking as if I'm crazy. And it's like, no, my opinion is valid. And mm-hmm. I think it's almost feeling, like you said, it's like out of, like as if we're out of place. But I'm gonna say, is it improving? I don't know if it is, because I think the culture of football is strong and it's deep. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think we're seeing more investment and there's more room for women. But I think your everyday typical fan, that opinion is still the same.
And I feel like we even see it with female commentators or pundits. Like we see it with Alex Scott still. She is an ex-professional football player. How can her opinions not be valid? So what have you done? Do you even play football professionally?
Yeah. Even, you know, when they put the byline, and if they have like Farrah Williams or Alex Scott, and it will be like 100 and whatever caps, and then it would be like, for whatever the guy that's on played in the third round of the FA Cup. And it's really exhausting, because one thing that I find that when there is a major tournament and you do get the likes of like Eni Aluko and whoever it is, if they go and put them on the rubbish games as well, but they turn up and they do their research, they're ready to be a pundit for the game, and you don't get that, and it's almost as if you have to work twice as hard.
Because
also they're allowed to be wrong. How many times are male pundits wrong? Yeah. They make outlandish statements. You're allowed to do that. All of us, like, this is what this podcast is. We make outlandish statements.
Exactly.
But when men do it, you don't get that same, like, same criticism. Well, it doesn't get based on their gender. But I would say that, like, I remember being at school and college and stuff, and I remember back in the day where, like, Gabby Logan would present Match of the Day now and then, just, like, on the off chance. The comments I would see, like, would be insane. Whereas now, yeah, Alex Scott gets a lot of hate, and like shout out to her and all the sort of women like her who are trailblazing it and making it happen, because now it's normal to see it. Yeah. Whereas even 10 years ago, it wasn't normal to see it. So I think the more it happens, the game's changing, you just get used to it. They'll get used to it. They're on the wrong side of history. Like, you're going to be left behind, unfortunately.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
On that note, we'll end it there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Please make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. See you next time.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.